Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to AI Audible, the new narrated article podcast from the Anfield Index podcast channel. Liverpool FC need to adapt to modern transfer market by Hamza Khalik Lunat. For the second time since 2008-2009, Liverpool FC qualified for the Champions League. The club appears to finally be on the right track to achieving its long-term ambitions of first returning to the top table of European football and second to win titles as part of that. Essential to meeting these objectives consistently is the signing of new players for the starting 11, which would help Liverpool progress from a team that has just pipped Arsenal to fourth spot to a consistent title challenger. However, reports emerged recently that once again Liverpool FC were struggling to wrap up a transfer deal for one of their primary targets due to issues regarding wages and the wage structure at the club. Having reportedly agreed a basic contract, negotiators backtracked and restructured the contract against the wishes of the players' representatives. Thus, the question must be asked, is the club jeopardising its long-term future for the sake of contracts and a wage system that is arguably best suited to clubs that do not consistently challenge for domestic and European trophies? Whilst not in explicit agreement, Jonathan Northcroft from the Sunday Times certainly suggests some credence to the notion of Liverpool not signing players because of wage or contract structures. On the latest edition of the Gags Tandon show, Northcroft asserted that Liverpool keep missing out on players because of wages. He then went on to claim that he believed Virgil van Dijk would not join Liverpool, as in financial terms, Liverpool are just not in the ballpark that Manchester City and Chelsea are. Are these claims true? Well, going by the information leaked regarding Van Dijk negotiations, it would very much appear so in this instance. However, is Liverpool missing out on key players due to wage demands a consistent theme? And are Liverpool in the right to have reneged on their initial offer? Additionally, in comparison, what is the going rate for other top Premier League centre-backs? Firstly, Liverpool are yet to conclude contract talks with Emre Can and have had a poor history with securing targets. We need only look at the deals that were widely expected to be completed, such as Dele Alli, Konoplyanka, or Mohamed Salah, when he first joined Chelsea. In this respect, Liverpool's transfer issues appear to be a very real structural problem. Liverpool reportedly offered Van Dijk's representatives a flat rate £180,000 per week package, one which would make him the second highest paid player at the club after Felipe Coutinho. However, the Liverpool negotiators allegedly backtracked, instead offering a restructured £130,000 per week deal, which would include performance-based bonuses that may contribute to an overall value of £180,000 per week. To understand the relative value of a £180,000 per week deal, it may be useful to look at other top Premier League centre-backs. Currently, the top centre-backs in the league have contracts which entitle them to roughly £120,000 per week. This includes players like David Luiz, Vincent Kompany and Nicolas Otamendi. However, the landscape in relation to centre-backs and their wages is shifting rapidly. These figures in relation to Van Dijk are misleading. These deals with Luiz, Kompany, Otamendi were all made before the value of the television deals had permeated through into the clubs. The influx of capital brought about via television deals has seen the value of contracts go up very recently. For instance, Dejan Lovren is now earning around £100,000 per week, a rate close to that of both Kompany and Luiz, but higher than that of Koscielny and Chris Smalling, and equal to John Stones. only a few months ago, paying £100,000 per week to a second choice centre back would have been extremely abnormal. However, the increased capital available to clubs has made for a market in which players, agents and selling clubs are quite aware of the capacity for the buying club to pay more. Liverpool have shown both an awareness and understanding of this initially in offering Van Dijk £180,000 per week, but this wage structure has come at a cost to signing players before, and seems very likely to do so again. This is an inflexible approach that is not suitable for the current economic climate. The club must adapt and readjust policy in relation to transfers, especially considering that these transfers apparently hinged on Champions League qualification alone. In the past, these performance-based contracts may have worked, and in fairness, Manchester City adapted this approach in part. But when a player is in demand, as Van Dijk is, with Manchester City and Chelsea interested, the club cannot dither, appear weak or thrifty. The demand for Van Dijk and his obvious quality has seen Southampton value him at £50 million, a price which would directly affect his wages. After all, a player bought for £50 million should command wages deserving of a £50 million player. The rise in transfer fees is intrinsically linked to the rise in wages. And whilst Liverpool are becoming more flexible in relation to transfer fees, the club is only halfway in adapting to the evolving economic environment of the Premier League. Essentially, transfer fees are largely relative. The demand for the player, the desirability of them, and the necessity of them to the buying club all come into account in forming the transfer fee, which then affects the wage rate. For instance, Liverpool's purchase of Andy Carroll, Manchester United's acquisition of Paul Pogba, or Manchester City's deal for John Stones all saw the clubs pay over the odds for the players, precisely because of how the demand, desirability and perceived necessity of all three players was so high. Football clubs are about image as much as anything. Being in the Champions League is not enough. The club must appear to be a strong one, with ambitions that will be close to realisation. The image that is portrayed when the clubs dither on transfers is one of a smaller club, inflexible and outdated. This is arguably an issue that has plagued Arsenal in recent years, with its wage structure seeing star players such as Ozil or Sanchez earning far less compared to their Manchester City or Chelsea counterparts. Perhaps one reason as to why Arsenal have not won the league since 2004. Liverpool's reluctance to finalise the contract talks with Van Dijk appears indicative of a club that does not take itself seriously enough to be in the big leagues. The centre-back spot is arguably the biggest issue within the Liverpool team. Liverpool's requirements for a centre-back are extremely specific too. They need to be strong on the ball, have good distribution, aerially strong, quick and able to defend large spaces in behind. Van Dijk satisfies all of these criteria. He's young and has Premier League experience. It's clear he's one of Klopp's primary targets. Why then are the club not pulling out all the stops to secure this player at any cost, especially when two of Liverpool's would-be title competitors are vying for a signature? The decision makers within the club must realise that the Premier League is growing increasingly competitive, and in order to just keep pace, let alone improve, concessions must be made in relation to the wage structure, as it is representative of a smaller team with lesser ambitions. The key to retaining the Champions League position and building upon it would be buying starting 11 quality players, yet the club are currently failing to do so because of wages, whereas Manchester United, Manchester City and Chelsea adhere to a different structure. Performances play a role, however purchasing a player and thus on-field results and performances are given primacy and priority. And this is precisely what allows them to compete at the highest level consistently. Compared to Arsenal, for instance, who have a rigid wage structure and have failed to compete seriously in both the Premier League and Champions League for over a decade. To return to the top table of European and English football, Liverpool, the board, and FSG must acknowledge that the football world is one that is constantly changing, and one in which a wage structure cannot get in the way of primary transfer targets. Liverpool FC and its negotiators must break free of these archaic shackles which are grounding the club, and allow Jurgen Klopp free rein in choosing and attaining his transfer targets, so that he has the best possible chance of reaching the ambitions that he and the fanbase expect of Liverpool FC. There's very little at this time of the year as deflating as that list of players that Hamza mentions in the middle of his piece. of players that were linked to the club who are really top-notch, top-end performers, who seemed to be close to some sort of an arrangement with Liverpool, only for that to fall away because it appears as if there were more attractive suitors elsewhere, which always seems to be coming down to some sort of financial situation. And you do, as a Liverpool fan then, start to have this terrible discrepancy between where you feel the club should be because of history and tradition and all the rest of it, and where the club actually are because of reality and financial restraints and decisions made by current owners and all the rest of those things that cause so much anxiety and internal rifts amongst the fan base. And I could not be less interested in getting into a debate about that. I don't think anyone's going to take any issue with what Hamza says here, that if we are serious, then we need to make serious bids for players. And then if they find us less attractive after that, there's not much we can do until we get ourselves into a position. But even if you get one or two, they will hopefully help bring the success, which will then bring the floods to the club. And that's where we're at now. We're at that stage where we already have a trickle of decent players who can be attracted to the club. Now we need a few heavy hitters to come. And if they result in their arrivals result in success, then that's when you get into proper territory. You're a successful club with a strong squad, and that's when you're attractive. But all of this takes the money off the table, and you can't do that because the money is the key question. And I'm not saying the footballers are mercenary. It's their living, and there's not one of you out there in a career who would say that if there was someone offering more money, you wouldn't go for that. That's what we do. We all think about looking after ourselves and our families and all the rest of it, so I don't blame anybody for that. But it would be nice to think that we could say, well, I'll see your 50 million, I'll raise you 50 million, but we don't seem to be in that situation. This all leads to a very, very stressful summer for some people. I know what I'm going to be doing, which is paying as little attention as possible to it until the deals are done, and then we'll deal with it because there's not much we can do in the interim. And I do know several people who are very close to losing their mental health. So be careful out there, guys, and try not to get too deeply into it because it really is not good for you.
Thank you for listening to AI Audible. You can read this episode's article along with many others on AnfieldIndex.com. You can download our AI channel app on iOS and Android. And you can find all our AI Audible episodes on Twitter at AI Audible and on AnfieldIndex.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.